Welcome to Living as a Disciple podcast. We live in a post-Christian culture, so how can we be and make disciples of Jesus? Discover it with us as we talk, brainstorm, and show you ways to be a disciple that makes disciples in today's culture. With you today, your hosts, Randy Nelson and Micah Johnson.
Welcome to another episode of the Living as a Disciple podcast. Randy, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Excited about this opportunity to visit with Brady. He's been a longtime board member and friend and somebody we've looked up to. Lives out in Hawaii, which is a lot nicer weather than what we have in here today. But having him in person here at the Ark while we're here at the conference, it's an awesome time to just see him in person and look forward to visiting with him about all that God's doing.
Yeah, for sure. For our listeners who are tuning in from some of our previous podcasts, you know that Randy and I are part of what is called the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, or AFLC, as we like to call it. It's a Lutheran denomination. We are actually recording this from our annual conference out in it's not even Osceola. It's like out in the outskirts of Osceola, right. Wisconsin, at what used to be an old, Air Force Base, military base.
60 kind of years ago.
Cool base, yeah. We won't get into that story podcast, but it's really cool how God has provided for the AFLC to have this resource where we can come for this conference. So, yes, and as you mentioned, we have our good friend Brady Arneson here with us. Brady, for the size of our denomination, you have kind of a unique story. You're actually in Hawaii and have started kind of a home mission church, but it's like a beach church. So we'd love to hear a little bit more. Just maybe introduce yourself first and a little bit about you, and then talk about kind of how God led you to start a church in Hawaii.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? My name is Brady Arneson, and here's the story of how it all happened. I was a recent graduate of the Free Lutheran Bible College, and then I went on to my first year at the University of Northwestern St. Paul, and I was pursuing my degree. Then my younger brother, Kyle, who was about to also graduate from the Free Lutheran Bible College, him and some friends were like, we should just do something random for like a gap year. And they were throwing out ideas like move to like Utah or Wyoming. And I'm like, okay, that's cool for you. But then they said Hawaii. And I was like, I'm coming with.
I mean,
because I've always kind of very disliked the cold winters. And I like wanted to get away. And like, I've always dreamed of surfing and stuff. So August 2014, my brother Kyle and three friends and I, we moved to Hawaii with just a backpack each. Didn't know where we were going to live.
Oh, wow.
We just got off the plane and we're like, where should we stay? It was so unplanned, but God was just in all the details and it worked out. And we started a Bible study Sunday nights just for the five of us bros, just to read the Bible and stay connected to God and each other. We called it pancake night because we ate pancakes. Nice. We had all different kinds of pancakes, like taco pancakes, pizza pancakes. We got very creative. And we ended up inviting random people off the streets of Waikiki and just friends we made. And it accidentally turned into a church. And there'd be like 10 to 15 people meeting every Sunday. And going back to when I was in ninth grade, I was attending a Bible camp here at the Ark in Wisconsin. And I just had a moment where God just really clearly spoke to me in my head. And he said, Brady, you're going to be a pastor. And I was like, nope, never, no way. Because my dad is a pastor. I didn't want to follow in his footsteps. And as a pastor's kid, there's tons of people just saying, you'd be a great pastor one day. So it makes me want to do it less and less.
Right. You know?
But I had that call and I was running away from it, literally like to Hawaii, kind of like Jonah, as far as possible away. But when this pancake night was organically turning into a church, it just became so clear to me the calling and the opportunity just aligned. And there's just no better place to be than like in the center of God's will. Mm-hmm. And that's where it was for me. And he really broke my heart to follow him, and my will aligned with his over the next couple years. And then I moved back to Hawaii in 2016 because we were originally just there for one school year. So I went back to Minnesota, finished my degree for a year, moved back to Hawaii by myself, November 2016. And that is when we started the Waikiki Beach Gathering.
Interesting. I didn't even actually know that part of the story. I thought originally that you'd gone out there with the intent of kind of starting a church, but it was actually just kind of on a whim. You just wanted to do something as guys and experience something new. And God really took that, to use your term, that Jonah experience, and turned it into something for his glory, into what it is today. So that's awesome.
Yeah. It's just really a dream come true, because I've found a place and like a people I can really connect and relate with, and a lifestyle. And like God gave me a ministry in a place that I love. So it's just really a dream come true.
That's awesome. And your, and I know this just from knowing you a little bit, your church is much different than the typical churches that we know in the United States. What does your church look like?
Yeah, we are a beach church. And in Hawaii, it's like 70s and 80s all year round. It does not rain very much. So we are able to meet outside at the beach. So we have public worship services. And that in itself is very different, because like we're bringing the church to the people. So every Sunday is like church for our church, but it's also an outreach event. And we don't really dress up. You can wear your board shorts, your swimsuit, your cutoff shirt. Some people show up shirtless, some of the guys. So it's a really casual environment. We meet under a very big like banyan tree with like roots, and there's just birds flying everywhere. When you're sitting in our congregation, you have a view of the waves and people surfing behind us. So it's a very nice setting. And meeting in public, it's very evangelistic, and we meet all kinds of people.
Well, I know you're famous for preaching barefoot, right? And usually in shorts, right?
Yeah, I wear a backwards hat, barefoot, board shorts. I'm just being myself. And that's kind of our whole mindset of ministry at our church, is like being very approachable and like easy on-ramps, and just being able to just be yourself and connect, and taking down a lot of those like walls that keep people from coming to church. Like some people, it's like dressing up.
Yeah. It is interesting because of just how the whole thing formulated. It was very organic. You know, it started as a Bible study and then kind of shifted into almost what you'd probably consider like a house church, and then grew to what it is now. And with that, you've kind of continued on with that type of culture of just being very relational and meeting people where they're at. It's like, you know, come in your board shorts, come in your flip flops, it doesn't take a suit and a tie to worship God on a Sunday morning, right?
Yeah. And I feel like when people hear the story of how our church started, the people in Hawaii hear that, they really see how we didn't really have any intentions at all, or like bad intentions. We were just living our life, and it kind of like organically started. Mm-hmm. And that kind of takes people's guard down. Like these people just want to help people and just share God's love, and they care about me. They don't have any agenda. So that's been a great way for us to reach people when they hear how it started.
I love how that's such a important part of what you guys believe God was calling you to, is to reach people right where they're at. And I know one of the things, and let you talk about it later, but how you reach out to, obviously, Hawaii, there's a lot of people who come out there homeless, because you can live on the beach and it's okay. But I know that you have an outreach where I think you told me like 100 or 200 cheeseburgers. You have a team that goes out and buys lunch for everybody and invites everyone to come and be a part of things.
Yeah, we're doing it every other month now. We used to do it every month, and people really love it. We call it our Surfing Sunday event, where we surf before church, because our favorite surf spot is right next to our church. So our service starts at 4 p.m., and we surf
oh, nice.
From 2 to 4, And then meanwhile, like if you don't surf, we have yard games set up and we have free freshly grilled cheeseburgers for everybody. Nice. And it's just really, people look forward to it and come out of the water, grab a cheeseburger. And the thing is, you don't even have to come to the service at four. It's like anyone can stop by and grab a burger. And it's just a great way to connect and reach our community.
It shows love, right? Care, concern for somebody without strings or anything.
Yeah, and food always brings people together.
Amen. Sure.
Free food. So.
I was saying, most of the time, my kids are worried about like what playground is at the church that they're going to, and now you got people that are like, I wonder how good the waves are outside of the church.
Well, that's what we think about.
Yeah. I like the idea of 4 o'clock for church. I mean, you're ready, and I think too, don't you offer like free surfing lessons for folks? I mean, if you've never, you probably have lots of really good surfers there who can teach others, right?
Yeah, we kind of do that just on our own when people ask. We used to do free surf lessons at our church. It was a big ministry, but then we kind of became like a surf school accidentally, and we didn't have permits and stuff, so we had to
and a free one at that.
Yeah. So we had to tone it down a little bit, but that's a direction that we could go in the future, like a possibility that God could open, and if we wanted to do that more.
Well, if I come visit you, you'll definitely have to teach me surfing. I tried it one time and I did not do very well.
There's no better place than Waikiki to learn how to surf.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, I know, talk a little bit about the folks that you're reaching there. I think, you said it began really organic. There's just, you started from just very small and then you're averaging like 70 or up to 100 a week. And you're, but it's a good variety of people. And Hawaii is a unique place, and I can well imagine it's a place of, I guess from the worldly perspective, it's where dreams go to die, right? Everybody, I'm going to move to Hawaii, everything's been great, and my guess is you probably run into a lot of people who came there hoping this was going to fix everything and other stuff, and I don't know, I'm just curious, how do you engage with people, and what are you finding there?
Yeah, one of our like main values as a church is that we can do anything short of sin to reach people who do not know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we really value reaching people that are de-churched or unchurched, left the church for whatever reason. And we want to do everything we can to reach these people who have left Jesus, not necessarily because of Jesus, but because of their experience at church.
Mm.
So our church, because of our mindset, our church is just full of tons of people who are like coming back to church, who are coming back to Jesus, who wouldn't like normally walk into a church building.
Sure.
So we have just a wide variety of like diverse backgrounds. Economically, the amount of money people have, different ethnicities.
Mm.
Probably our attendance on Sundays is maybe 15%. Houseless people. And the thing is, they feel right at home. Like,
sure,
we don't treat them any differently, and we just value them and treat them as normal people because they are. So this is a wide variety of people, all ages as well, primarily probably like 20 and 30 year olds, but it's all varieties. We reach a lot of single people of all ages too. They find the community in our church and they feel welcome. And yeah, just very diverse, and it's just a great range of people who come to the gathering.
What is the main religion, I will say, in Hawaii?
I would say it is Christianity still.
Okay.
But it is not cultural Christianity like we might find in the Midwest or the mainland America. People do not call themselves a Christian unless they actually are like intentionally a disciple of Jesus. Mm. So there really is a cutoff. There's like no reason to pretend you're a Christian in Hawaii because there's all different kinds of options. Buddhism is very big as well. It's probably second. Hindu, there's lots of people who are just spiritual. And when we tell them about Jesus, they'll just like add Jesus to their group of religions they already follow.
Sure.
So they're very accepting to us, but then we have to like tell them like he is the way, the truth, and the life. Like no one comes to the Father except through him. So it's a lot of different religions and spiritualities, but it's not cultural Christianity.
Mm. Mm. Interesting.
What are some of the ways that you are engaging people? Because like I said, I can well imagine they're there just enjoying their life. They're living an island. And how do you connect with different people?
I would say the main way we do that is through meeting in public, because we meet in Kapi'olani Park, which is right next to Waikiki. Mm-hmm. And it is the gathering place of the island. Mm. And our island, Oahu, means gathering place.
Oh, really?
So we are the gathering place of the gathering place, and we're called the Gathering. Nice. So we're very intentional why we named ourselves that. But everyone on the weekends comes to this park to grill out, to surf, to swim, and we're right there. So the foot traffic and the bike traffic and the car traffic is just so much. So many people see us. We have a big presence in the community because of our consistency over the last 8.5 years. Mm-hmm. I would say another way is through social media. We really know that is a huge way to reach people. Like even posts that don't reach a lot of people are still reaching hundreds of people that are new. And so we really value like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and also like Google Maps, Yelp, the Meetup app. Our social media presence has probably been the second reason why people find out about us and come to our church. And we have a photo and video team, and they make sure we have like updated pictures of people so they can people can really experience what it's like to be at our church before they come. So
that is cool. Yeah, it's interesting because like you said, there's probably people that have through lack of a better term, been turned off to the church. And when I say church, I mean like entering the four walls of a sanctuary or a church building, not necessarily the body of Christ type church. But when you have that concept of like, we kind of bring the church to you, like we know this is the gathering place for everybody, and we're just here doing what we do on a Sunday. You can choose not to be a part of it if you want to, but you've actually seen the opposite. Yeah. That people are actually very intrigued to come and be a part of, even if it's from a distance, at least be a part of what's being shared on a Sunday.
Yeah, they walk into it.
What is this?
Yeah.
You just put a church around my barbecue pit spot.
Yeah. I could tell a story about that, actually.
Go for it.
In 2018, one of our great stories of our church is we were going to set up for church that day, and there was a houseless person sleeping in our spot where we set up. So what we decided to do is just to set up around him. And that's when there was only like 30 of us meeting back in like year 3. So we set up the entire church. It was a surfing Sunday, so we were grilling cheeseburgers and in the middle of our service, and then he woke up and my brother Kyle was like, "Here's a double cheeseburger. Welcome to the Gathering." And
nice.
He loved it. And it turns out he had a home, but he was currently living away from his family on the streets because of just addictions and issues in his life. And then his name is Ricky, and he's been a part of our church every Sunday since.
That's awesome.
For the last 7 years. And he really is like the heart and soul, and he just really brings the Holy Spirit to life in our congregation through his just passion and encouragement and joy. And we baptized his grandson, and his wife comes, and his son comes. And that's just one of the great stories, because we meet in public and because we have free food, and we just approached him because we're out there. So
we put our tent right on top of you.
God had him sleep there that night.
Yep.
That is awesome. I am curious so you're a church without a building. You're kind of a, I don't know if I'd say a mobile church, but it's kind of a mobile church, and you have core attendees, but a lot of people that come and go too. Just for the listener's sake, and I'm kind of curious too, how do you do a lot of outreach things, and that all costs money. How do you fund these type of things for your church?
We don't need a lot of money because of the building aspects. We don't have a lot of facilities costs. And we have our members of our church, they are giving. But we also have probably like 25% of our giving comes from mainland friends and family and AFLC people and who just believe in us. So we've been so thankful for starting this church within the AFLC. The prayer support just makes things happen that we cannot even comprehend. And the financial support, like churches and people just send us money. This is such a blessing. It's amazing. And yeah, we've had some very generous people within our congregation too. One person currently covers all of our food costs.
Oh, wow.
Just, and they're like, yeah, do you want more food? Like, they're and the food is a big part of what we do.
Sure.
So just the gifts of generous people who believe in what we're doing. Yeah.
Your church, I know it's more than just Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, I mean. Talk about a little bit, because I know you're more than just an evangelistic mission that meets on Sundays. You are actually developing disciples. You have things going on during the week, and it's a growing and maturing church. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So midweek, we have connect groups, which we have had going since 2020, and they are lay-led. People can apply and lead them, and we really empower them to do what they want with them. They're mostly Bible studies or interest-based groups. So throughout the year, we've had surfing groups, the workout adventure group, like a women's group, men's group. And each group has a WhatsApp chat, and anyone in the group can just schedule or organic hangouts. So people are hanging out all the time throughout the week. It's just like a community, living life together every day, not just Sundays. And then last year, we just started discipleship groups, and this is a format some people may be familiar with. It is the book Discipleship Essentials by Greg Ogden, and it's groups of four or three. They call them quads or triads, and each person who joins a group makes a very intentional covenant with the other members. You're committing to open your life up to be transformed by God, to be real and authentic with each other, to meet consistently. And what we do is the group only meets if all four are able to attend. So there's accountability there. So you meet every week. If you cannot meet up, you just skip that week and go to the next one. You meet about 50 times because there's 25 chapters and we split it in half. So it's about a year-long commitment. And each person is committing to starting their own group afterwards. So currently I'm leading two groups and then my wife is leading one, so we're starting out with that. But if everyone does follow through with their commitment, about at the end of this year we could have 11 groups starting. So the multiplication part is really awesome, and I have not found a more effective way of evangelism than or discipleship than this. Like, the growth and the maturity that I've seen in the men in my groups is like nothing else. And I'm just going to keep on doing these quads because it's so effective. And the friendships we form. And people in my groups have stepped into leadership positions and grown because of this.
Yeah. Yeah, we had another, earlier on in season two here, we had another pastor, Pastor Lloyd Quambeck, that talked about quads. And he actually ended up doing, I think it was a master's thesis on quads. And he as well has found them very effective. You know, holding people accountable, making sure that this idea of multiplication is intentional, that we're continuing to build and foster those relationships and our own personal growth in Christ.
Yeah, I feel like for me, I think it's better than the one-on-one, because it's like one-on-one for me kind of feels a little like top-down or like authoritative and student. But I really like the group mentality, because me as the leader of the group, I learn just as much as everyone else. And the brotherhood that forms is really great.
Yeah. Yeah, we did something in our church a little bit more ad hoc. It's not quite as structured, but there's a group of about five of us that meet. And it's not every week, but once a month. And it's kind of similar. We're like, we're not as structured where if we can't all meet, we don't meet. We try to all be there on a date that makes sense. But yeah, just that camaraderie and being able to hold each other accountable. And we've had more and more guys from the congregation, they're like, hey, I've heard about this group. Can I be a part of it? And it's like, of course, everybody can be a part of it. But it's actually growing in interest to the point where, yeah, now we're thinking about separating into other groups and expanding it and growing it, which is exactly the idea. So,
yeah, I think getting people to like really step out of their comfort zone and become a disciple maker is a huge thing, because I think a lot of people in church are just really comfortable being discipled. But when they become disciple makers, that's just what God intended. And that's when
right. It
continues. Yep.
I know we've talked about evangelism and I was talking to somebody the other day about how evangelism really is a fruit of discipleship. That when you are growing in your relationship with God, that's just something that comes, is you want to share Jesus with others. Can you talk a little bit about how how do you see that? Or what are some of the evangelistic things that you're doing on top of developing leaders and such for the gathering?
Yeah, one thing we do it quarterly now, so about four times a year, and it's called Water Bottle Ministry. And we actually got the idea from some Free Lutheran Bible College students that came out here because they do it at the Bible College. And what we do is we go to the bars of Waikiki, and it's the block where the bars are open till 4 a.m. It's like the latest. So when the people, all their bars close, they all come to this spot. Like, this is the spot. And then we have big coolers of just ice cold water bottles. And it's an evangelistic outreach where we are just hanging out outside the bars just like they are. And it is a little, you're just out there with people who are drunk or like ready to get drunk. But what we found is these people are very open to spiritual conversations, and they're very accepting of anyone. And they're down to talk. So like, it's really not a threatening environment at all. People are just down to have a good time, and we're out there and we just start up a conversation and then just get to know them quickly in the time we have and just ask them questions. And then we try to turn that conversation into a spiritual conversation in some way. I found bringing up just the word church will get them to just tell their opinion about church or what church they go to or used to go to, or they just open up. And I think that's a great way to turn it into a spiritual conversation. And then we also use like the Share Jesus Without Fear method by Bill Fay. And that's been a great way to kind of lead people to a decision. And sometimes we get to go through that entire process and people will say like yes or no. But also just praying for people is very impactful, and planting seeds too. And we end up meeting people that we've seen before and that have come to the church before, and then we invite them to church. And it's just a great way to just kind of break down people's walls and like, these Christians are pretty nice people. They're out here just helping us, giving us water. So it's great.
I think in other podcasts, and we've talked about it even outside of the podcast, about that whole concept that scripture talks about bearing with each other, or bearing with one another. It's like really getting into the messiness of people's lives and doing relationship outside of just the Sunday when we see it. Because Sunday, I know in like mainland America, Sunday morning ends up being kind of that time when we put our mask on and go into church and, you know, act like we're supposed to act in church. And we forget that, you know, there's six other days of the week that, well, probably six and a half other days of the week, because once you leave the church, you might be living a completely different life too. But being a part of people's messiness and building those relationships and things, helping bear with one another, super important in discipling and evangelism.
Yeah, and as Nacho shared on the last podcast, like being real is a great way to reach people and what the younger generations really value. And our vision as a church is creating real, authentic community.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of what we do. And we just want to have people not pretend they're perfect, and just to be able to open up and confess sin and just share testimony and highs and lows of life. And as we open up, we realize that other people are going through the same things right now, or they were, or when we will in the future, we'll be prepared. So just being with each other, bearing each other's burdens, I think that's what everyone wants and needs. And the church should be the place for that.
Right. Yeah, no, there's been plenty of times in, you know, both my life or my wife's life where we've gone through things and you're kind of like, I don't know who else is dealing with this. And it's helpful when you hear testimonies of people that are dealing with it. And you're like, all right, even if I'm not going through something now, I know who I can go to talk to about something like that. And like I said, we, you know, it seems kind of cliche, but I think it's probably more real than we want to admit it. We just kind of put masks on when we go to church and we're not really real with people. We're not really serious about how life is going or how we're feeling. And then we leave church and we really aren't any better off than we were before, right? Because we weren't open and honest about where we're at.
Yeah, I feel like just naturally we close up and we don't talk. So we have to be constantly remembering and fighting against that. That's why our vision is creating, because we always need to continue to be creating this space and this openness within ourselves and our church. For us at the gathering, every Sunday as a part of our worship service, we have a testimony. So we ask someone ahead of time to share for like 5 or 7 minutes about what God's been doing in their life recently or like big picture. So that's where we create that. We also have a monthly worship and testimony night that we call Last Friday Night, the last Friday night of every month. And we have pizza, communion. We actually have made it a pool party now because it's out of the hotel. And then we have lots of worship songs. And then the main event is the featured testimony where someone shares for 20 minutes that we've asked ahead of time and they just open up completely and are real with us. And then after the featured testimony, we break out into small groups of about 4 and people reflect on their testimony if they can relate to that. They open up and they pray and we read scripture together. So testimony is very important and being real is something they need to create in our churches.
For sure. You mentioned your wife, so you're married.
Yep. Her name's Bethany.
Bethany. And how many years have you been married?
It'll be 2 years in July.
Okay. Is she, you met her in Hawaii?
Yeah, we met at CRU at the University of Hawaii at the campus ministry there. I used to attend there as a student, as she was. And then our church has a partnership with CRU.
Okay.
So we met there and became friends.
Awesome. And how has she been an intricate part of, you know, the gathering and helping with that discipleship and evangelism?
She leads our women's group, her and a friend, and one of her main spiritual gifts is shepherding. So like she's naturally has like a shepherd, like pastor heart to the woman. And it's just so natural for her to be caring spiritually for the people of the church. And she also has the spiritual gift of mercy, which is actually something I don't personally have a lot. I'm kind of it's an area where I need to be intentional with, but for her, it's like her priority and it comes naturally. So she has such a heart for like all the people of our church and people in need. She has a master's in social work. So she really knows how to relate and like connect and diagnose people's rooted issues.
Wow.
It's really helpful for me as a pastor. I'll be like, why are they the way that they are? And then she'll just tell me why. And she can have a conversation with you and just really know what your root issues are. So that's really awesome. Cool.
It's amazing how God blesses you with somebody who balances out the ministry in that way.
Yeah, she's also the leader of our connections team. So on Sunday afternoons when we're there from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., she's at our big welcome table. And before the service even starts, people just walk up to her and people will come crying to her and or just asking for prayer because we have a cross and like, oh, this is a place where I can receive care. So our like connections team ministry is a huge part of our church. That's not even a part of like the service or anything. And she leads that. And yeah, we give out free Bibles and she just reads the Bible with people. She bought this one house, this lady, a really nice big print Bible because she couldn't read small print. So Bethany has a heart for the people of our church. And it's just a great addition to my ministry when I married her. So we're a team.
That's awesome.
Praise God. For a lot of people, I'm sure, is listening go, well, that sounds great. I'm sure that works really good in Hawaii. But a lot of these principles really are very practical no matter where you live, right? What are some things that you would say, like, for congregations or someone who's in a church where they're at, feel like, man, how do we do a better job of connecting with people, or how do we disciple, or how can we even just having that mindset? Any ideas on how to encourage them to, what steps they could take?
Yeah, so like we do meet outside, but that's pretty much the only difference, really. And we value doing everything with the new person in mind and the non-Christian in mind. And that might really summarize how and why we do what we do. And I think you can adapt that to a church in Minnesota or North Dakota or Wisconsin or anywhere in the mainland in a building. To do everything we do with new people in mind and non-Christians in mind, because we don't know if everyone in our churches are saved. And there's new people that come, even if new people don't normally come, they could come. So we need to be ready for them and prepared for them. So like, I think the things we do on our Sunday gatherings, we need to like explain what the meaning of it is and the purpose of it. And then we need to be really just welcoming to new people and connect them to the church so they can get connected to God. Well, we don't want to like assume people know God, because a lot of people in our culture don't really have any spiritual background like they used to. So I think doing everything with an evangelistic mindset, like sharing the gospel, is a way you could adapt that and just be very intentional and purposeful in what we're doing.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, I've grown up as a pastor's kid too, right? And you get to a point where you kind of step back and go, it kind of feels like we're just going through the motions. Like we do all these things, but then asking why, and like even as somebody who's grown up in the church, it's important to understand why. You know, some people might go, why do we always have to explain this? It seems like we're just explaining it and explaining it and explaining it. Like, but it's important to understand why we do them too. So you might be going through a tough, rough point in life, and you might need that explanation all over again as to why we confess our sins before a holy God, because he promises to make absolution for our sins when we confess them from our heart. You know, why do we confess our faith? Things like that. And, you know, even within our own denomination, not everybody goes through the same, what we call an order of service, or the same motions of a service. But those simple explanations as to why we do what we do are, I think, are vitally important. And I think as you see a younger generation, at least we have in our church, there's a younger generation that is wanting to be more invested. They see their kids growing up in a culture that is not true to the word of God, and they're searching for a church home that wants to teach them the truth of the word of God. It's all the more important to have the explanation of why we do the things that we do.
Yeah, and I think because people don't have like a Christian or spiritual background at all nowadays, we cannot assume that. People don't really want to be a part of a church just because it's what people do, because people don't do that as much as they used to. So I think it's really important for us to be very passionate about Jesus and just like knowing Jesus. And that just comes down to each of us individually in our personal relationships with God, and just having quiet time with God, and just growing a love for the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, just in our own lives. And then we'll begin to overflow, and that we're not trying to fake hype or anything, but like when we're overflowing with the Holy Spirit and just loving and desiring Jesus, that'll be seen. People will see Jesus in us, and they'll see that just passion for Jesus in us. And that's what people want to be a part of, something that brings meaning and purpose to their life. So if they come to a church for the first time where the people are like, wow, they are in love with Jesus, and they're a part of something bigger than themselves, like compared to a church where people are just like going through the motions and not really sure why they're there, I think there's a big difference in people wanting to know Jesus because of our testimony in that and wanting to become a part of your church and wanting to grow as a disciple. So I think passion for God is very important. And I think that's what like Gen Z wants to. They want to be a part of movements and something that makes a difference. And they're just not going to go to church because their parents want them to. So.
Yeah. I have noticed that in churches, and I'm not using this as a blanket statement, but that whole concept of like making testimonies an active part of your worship service on Sunday morning seems to be kind of something that we've sort of lost over the years. And I know it might happen in passing and things like that when we're having conversations, but having that true like gospel testimony of what God is doing in your life currently, it's not just like, oh, this is how I came to faith and this is how I was saved or whatever, but it's like, it's an ongoing testimony of God's faithfulness.
It's the word of God come to life.
Yeah.
And it's not just the pastor saying it.
Right,
it's exactly. It's like a normal person from the church. Yep. Testifying about the greatness of God. Like, whoa, God changed their life. He can change mine too. He can speak about God. I can too.
The person that you passed on the beach and now they're sharing their testimony.
Yeah. I think it's so great when it comes from other people besides the pastor too. It's great.
For sure.
And that's what makes it, I mean, like you said, applicable no matter where you are and or worship style or whatever. It's the genuineness of a love for Jesus that people are longing for. They want to hear and know from somebody who actually knows Jesus, who loves him, and it's obvious in their life. And I think that is something that all of us as believers can really be a lot more intentional about as we seek to live as a disciple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to wrap up our time, Brady. I really appreciate you sharing with us what you know, basically how God called you and put you in the place that you're at right now. And how he's continuing to use you to further the kingdom in Hawaii. And honestly, not in just Hawaii. What you guys are doing in Hawaii impacts churches in our mainland too. And has in conversations I've had, has made people kind of rethink, how do we look at this differently? How can we reach out to our community in a different way? How can we be more visible? So we praise the Lord that what he's doing through the work at the Waikiki Beach Church is also impacting our congregations.
Yeah, this is really fun to be in the podcast with you guys. And I'm thankful for all of our listeners who support our church already and support the department and just love Jesus. And thanks for being a part of our mission.
Absolutely. As we close, Randy, would you pray for us?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love for us and how you really are what changes lives, you in our life, revealing yourself to us, showing us your great love and mercy, your forgiveness and grace. And Lord, as you come and fill us, Lord, how you enable us to be a useful tool in your hands to share and show that love to others. Thank you for Brady. Thank you for the ministry of the Waikiki Beach gathering. And pray your blessing upon them. Pray, too, for our churches, for those who are listening as well, too. May we each seek to live a life that is truly honoring and pleasing to you, that is genuine and real, and recognize it as we do that. Not only will our lives be greater fulfillment of all that you have for us, but truly, Lord, we will reach others in a way that will encourage them to look to you and trust in you. Lord, again, we just thank you for your work in us, for your faithfulness, your patience in us. And God, ask that you would continue to help us each day to grow more and more like a and live as a disciple of yours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Randy. Thank you, Brady, for joining us. And we'll continue to pray for you as you head back to Hawaii very soon here. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this podcast today. Invite you to listen and subscribe to the Living as a Disciple podcast on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. Invite you to share it with some friends. Like us on those channels. And you can also check us out on our website at disciplelife@aflc.org. We encourage you to go there and comment on the podcast, ask questions. You can even give suggestions for future episodes. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, remember to live each day as a disciple and let others see Jesus in you. Thanks for joining us.